Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's day 17 of the government shutdown, the second longest shutdown in U.S. history. Some TSA workers are reportedly calling out sick because they can't afford to get to work, and many government agencies, including the EPA, NASA, and the National Weather Service, are not active. But government employees aren't the only ones affected by the shutdown. For thousands of immigrants and asylum seekers awaiting their day in court, the shutdown has presented yet another obstacle. Hearings that were scheduled to take place over the past 2 weeks have been postponed indefinitely, and that leaves many people in limbo and adds to the already extensive backlog of cases. Gagi Otiasvili is one of them.
What happened? Russia bombed my house one time. They attacked several times in my country.
After the collapse of the Soviet Union in the early 1990s, the Eastern European country of Georgia gained its independence. But tensions between Russia and Georgia remained. Otiasvili worked for the Georgian government at the time. In August 2001, Otiasvili fled Georgia and arrived in New York to apply for asylum.
My process was taken in a legal way. Never I was hiding from the government. As a former government worker and statesman, I never have any intention to do any unlawful.
Otiasvili married a U.S. citizen and built his life in the United States. All the while, he was waiting for his day to stand before a federal immigration judge. And after 17 years, he finally got a notice.
A court hearing was appointed January 2nd. Everybody knows this could be a final listening. They think everything could be good.
His final hearing. And then the years-long process would come to an end. But then the government shut down.
Because this court was shut down, we don't know when court is going to give another new data.
And his January 2nd hearing was canceled. Now again, he must wait. And the backlog in the immigration courts is already years long.
So we now have about 60 courts across the country and about 400 immigration judges, but our backlog is well over 800,000 cases and growing. If you count the cases that the Attorney General in his recent decision stated he wanted to put back on the docket, that would take us to well over 1.1 million backlog cases.
That's Ashley Tabador, a federal immigration judge who spoke to us on behalf of the National Association of Immigration Judges. Tabador is the group's president. Of the million cases that are currently in the backlog, a large majority are for immigrants who are not currently detained. Many have followed all the laws and are awaiting a decision from a judge.
For the non-detained docket, all of the cases have been canceled. So every day, thousands and thousands of cases that had previously been scheduled are not being heard.
And that's being exacerbated because of the government shutdown. So for people like Gagi Otiasvili from Georgia, that means his case could now end up at the back of the line.
When a case is not heard, when you have something like this shutdown and the cases are being canceled, it isn't like you can just turn around and roll over 4,000 cases and tell everyone magically to just show up, you know, 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. No, you have to now find a place for the cases that were not heard, which means that it's likely going to go to the back of the docket. So those individuals are now going to have two or three or maybe much longer periods of delay, or you're going to have to bump other cases.
And for the immigration judges, the shutdown means they're working for free.
First of all of our judges are now in a non-paid status, so no one's getting paid. This past weekend, we were supposed to have a paycheck, and no one has received one as far as I know.
And as court hearings get canceled, the backlog is getting bigger and bigger.
Because our judges, particularly the ones who have the non-detained docket, have thousands of cases individually that they're responsible for. I have somewhere about 2,500 cases the last time I looked, and I have colleagues who have upwards of 5,000 or 6,000 cases on their docket. So it's not unusual for judges to have cases scheduled on their docket up to 2, 3, or 4 years ahead of time.
Joining us to discuss all this is Greg Chen. He's the Director of Government Relations for the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Greg, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me, Tanzina.
So let's take a broad look across the country. When it comes to the immigration courts and the government shutdown, what are we seeing?
What is most dramatic, as the example of the story of Mr. Otiashvili shows, is that the president's shutdown is jeopardizing the lives of asylum seekers and other immigrants who have been waiting often for years for their cases to be resolved. And what that means is that asylum seekers who are worried about their lives and that they could still be sent back to dangerous conditions in their home countries, they're still waiting in limbo. And evidence in their case could go stale. Witnesses who are going to provide declarations and information showing the persecution and the violence that these people have suffered could be lost. And so the shutdown is really making the courts not operational at this point, and lives are going to be affected. People are really going to be hurt by this.
What about attorneys? How are they handling the situation? I mean, do they understand how this shutdown is affecting their clients?
Well, we are still trying to figure that out. And with 15,000 immigration lawyer members across the country, what we are hearing from our members is that they're having their cases be delayed and taken off the docket. And as Judge Tabador described, you know, the vast majority of cases in this backlog of more than 800,000 cases now, possibly more than a million if all the additional cases are added, as the administration has planned to do, those vast majority of cases, those are the ones that are sitting on the dockets in the non-detained calendar. These are people that are not in detention of any kind. Those cases are being pushed off, and they will have to wait typically more than a year. In New York, we're talking about probably not having your case go back on until 2022 or the year 2023. That's a few years out. And attorneys are still trying to figure out what to do to make sure these severe delays don't hurt their clients.
As we mentioned in the introduction, there is a severe backlog of these cases even before the shutdown happened. We interviewed Judge Ashley Tabador, who was with the National Association of Immigration Judges, and she told us the following.
We need to remove the immigration court from the Justice Department. The backlog that we're seeing now and the dysfunctionalities that we're seeing now all stem from the fact that we have an immigration court run by a prosecutor. So it is absolutely indefensible to have a court that has that ability of a prosecutor to interfere and intercede and use the court for law enforcement perspectives and policies. You can't have the executive branch be responsible for the enforcement of the law as well as adjudication of claims that are brought as a result of the enforcement of those laws.
Greg, your thoughts on that. Is Judge Tabador correct? Is the lack of independence for immigration courts partly to blame for the backlog?
AILA, the American Immigration Lawyers Association, does agree with the position that the immigration courts can no longer be part of the Department of Justice controlled by the Attorney General. And it's true that the backlog of cases was already very large before this administration took office, but policies that the Trump administration has implemented, particularly under Attorney General Jeff Sessions and his successors seem to be taking the same approach. Those policies have made it worse. They are literally preventing the courts from being able to operate efficiently, and they are literally hamstringing judges from being able to manage the dockets so that they can take the cases that are requiring more urgent review so they can make those decisions appropriately in a timely manner. They're holding those up. And what's happening is that we are seeing that due process for asylum seekers, constitutional rights are being affected here.
But Greg, do those folks have any recourse given this shutdown? I mean, or is it really just a question of wait and see, and we've got about 30 seconds left?
Well, the policies of the administration are being challenged in the courts now, especially decisions that will directly limit the right of asylum seekers to be able to get fair review of their cases. Those are going to be challenged by lawyers in the courts. We will make sure to stop this. The Constitution protects the rights of asylum seekers who are seeking protection in the courts. And if the courts can't operate properly to guarantee that, that is just not the American way.
Greg Chen is the Director of Government Relations for the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get more now on the politics of the government shutdown. Amanda Turkle is the Washington, D.C. bureau chief for HuffPost. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we're in a stalemate here, day 17. Are you hearing any solutions that might get us out of this?
No.
Okay.
There's no meeting scheduled between the White House and congressional leaders. It seems like Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who's of course a Democrat, wants to start considering individual bills that would reopen the government and fund individual agencies. But that doesn't look like it's going anywhere in the Senate because Mitch McConnell doesn't want to take up something that President Trump won't sign. And basically, the dynamics are still, you have President Trump, who is insisting that he gets $5.7 billion for his wall, and you have Democrats who say no way. And until something changes there, nothing's happening.
Well, in the middle of all this, as we know, there are people's lives hanging in the balance. We just did a segment on the impact of the shutdown on immigration courts and people's cases that are being backed up. But outside of that, federal employees are just not getting paid, from judges to TSA workers. I understand the politics of this, but I'm just thinking, is there anything that will break this other than the president's wall?
What is going to happen is there's going to be more public pressure on lawmakers to do something. You already have three Senate Republicans, Susan Collins, Cory Gardner, and Tom Tillis. They're facing tough reelection races in 2020. So maybe this is part of why they are speaking out a little bit more. But they said they want to see some resolution, and they're not standing with Trump necessarily. So you talked about all these federal workers who are facing these tough circumstances, who aren't getting paid. They're going to be speaking up even more as the shutdown drags on. It's now the second longest shutdown in history. And if it goes through the weekend, it'll be the longest one ever.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, you think about just the TSA folks who are, you know, this could actually present security issues for a lot of folks. I'm wondering if you think that the public pressure will be enough to get some movement on either side here.
I think it will be eventually, definitely. I mean, that's what's ended these shutdowns in the past. I mean, people think about federal workers as all being centered around D.C., but that's not actually true. More federal workers work in other parts of the country than in Washington, D.C. And so people are hearing about this from all over the place. And you know, we've talked about the people who aren't working, who aren't getting paid. But then, as you said, there are all these workers who are working and who still aren't getting paid. And they have to figure out how they're paying for childcare. They have to figure out how they're paying for their rent. And they have all these bills that they need to keep up with. And just because their paycheck may be coming eventually, that's not good enough.
Yeah, I have a feeling a government shutdown, no matter what side of the political divide you're on, is going to be less and less palatable as people don't get paid as the weeks go on.
And you have tax season coming up, and next month is when people start filing for to get returns and to get refunds. And the IRS right now isn't equipped to do that, and so you're going to have people mad there. And then you have this issue of the national parks. At least 7 people have died at national parks since the shutdown began. Investigations into those deaths have been delayed because they haven't been able to have the workers to look into them. And so there's a lot of public safety issues as well.
Amanda Turkle is the Washington, D.C. bureau chief for HuffPost. Amanda, thank you.
Thank you.